This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Texans game day. Here in loop as you've got the Texans facing off against the Jets in New York, or in New Jersey rather, MetLife Stadium. That thing will get going at 7. You'll have a pregame here in a few hours, not very long, with
4:15.
Sean and Seth. 4:15 they get going to start getting you going towards football. But before we get there, let's go around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Got extra game day tickets? Turn them into cash with Quick Assist. Download Quick Assist from your app store today to find H-Town fans looking for seats. That's Quickassyst. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. So we've been talking about this week how the Texans got that man Anthony Richardson benched. I mean, clearly he got himself benched by not being able to, you know, throw for more than 50% of his passes and or complete more than 50% of his passes, and just generally not looking like a quarterback that is prepared for NFL play. But also, they got after his ass this Sunday, and he was indeed, where we learned rather that Shane Steichen was benching him and going to Joe Flacco for the remainder of the season thus far, or at least for foreseeable future, because they Steichen said that Flacco is the quarterback going forward. Apparently, when we learned that, everybody else on the team learned that. Anthony Richardson being benched got so much weirder yesterday. We got a lot of reporting. One of the reports letting us know that the Colts quarterback himself, Anthony Richardson, wasn't necessarily told why he was being benched. That's per James Boyd of The Athletic. So Anthony Richardson himself said, didn't really tell me why. And outside of Ryan Kelly, who said that he was told by Steichen, the center, Ryan Kelly, he was given a heads up apparently, and Ryan Kelly said he gave me a heads up on that, which I respect a lot. I think Shane wants to get ahead of it, let the guys know before they find out a certain way. Well, he got that, but nobody else on the team seemed to get that. As many people seemingly learned it from social media. Shane Steichen, I previously viewed him as a good head coach, usually makes good play calls. Over the last few weeks, it's definitely looked really bad for him as a head coach.
Well, it's looked bad for him, and I think the reflection of it is, when you have a quarterback that doesn't perform, there's shrapnel going everywhere. I think Shane Steichen is a really good play caller. I think he's proved enough, he's shown enough as a play caller. Go back to last year, you know, and what he was able to do. But when you have issues at quarterback, everybody gets hit, you know, from the top down. And I think that's why he looks bad right here, but the decision itself, I think, is the best decision.
Yeah, I don't know that there are many people that are, like, questioning the decision itself. Yeah. Like, Anthony Richardson just does not look like he's capable of getting the job done on that level. Although, we did play the audio yesterday of when Anthony Richardson was indeed drafted, right, that they were talking about that he just needs game reps. Mm-hmm. But now it seems like they're going with the best opportunity win, which you're never going to be, you know, knocked for, the best opportunity win in the NFL. But It feels weird the way that he's handled it. There's been some instances where he feels like he's not necessarily called the best plays, or maybe you look at Anthony Richardson and say that he's checking out of things. Maybe that's a possibility. But then it was just weird to see him not be able to manage the people of it all, because it feels like if you don't get the people part of it, no matter how good of a play caller you are, you're not going to be able to get this done. All of these things, all of these sports are still ultimately people business.
Yeah, I think the one thing that is absolutely worthy of being criticized is how he handled the actual decision. The decision itself, no one really, I think, minds. You know, they understand it. And certainly his play calling, I think, is still good. We'll find out. I mean, you know, with Joe Flacco, we saw what he did last year, as I mentioned, and we'll see what happens with Flacco. He's committed to Flacco, so at least publicly. So there's no real, okay, who's going to be the quarterback this week type thing. So he's handling that well, but the communication to the team had to have been done a different way. I mean, it just wasn't right.
Well, interestingly enough, at least players on the team seemed to like not be throwing away Anthony Richardson, though. Various players, including ones like Josh Downs, think that he'll play with Anthony Richardson again. Josh Downs said, quote, "At the end of the day, Joe is like 40 years old, so he only has so many more years. I'd say AR is 22 or 23. He's still the fourth overall pick.
Yeah.
I know he's going to start again." Close quote.
Dude's old, man. You think he's going to keep starting?
He's not going to be here at all.
But what then you start, and it's not our business per se right now, but it will be in the offseason. Then what are the Colts doing? Is there a longer term question with Anthony Richardson? Because you know that Shane Steichen can coach up quarterbacks. You know that he has a good offensive mind. And it was so bad with Anthony Richardson. What if he was in a situation where it was like a defensive-minded head coach and offensive coordinator that was in over his head? Then you might say, well, he needs a change of scenery. I think Anthony Richardson had every advantage. In fact, the one thing that I was sort of, you know, worried about from a Houston perspective is, oh, wow. I was really down on Anthony Richardson. Figgy, before the draft, during the draft, when he was drafted, I was like,
he was down on him before it was cool.
I was like, I don't think this guy can be an NFL quarterback based on accuracy.
Yeah.
You know, he completed 51% of his passes at Florida. I mean, and I just like, that doesn't translate all the time. You can talk about Josh Allen all you want, but that is the outlier.
Yeah.
So I was down on his like NFL ability, but once he got with the Colts, I'm like, uh-oh. He's got Shane Steichen now. Maybe he's going to plug in, you know, to something there and get him going. So I think Steichen might be at a point where we've got to make another decision at quarterback, and that's down the road. I think it's in play.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Downs has a little bit of insight in this because guys come back around all the damn time. Enter the Carolina Panthers, where Bryce Young is set to start again for them this week as they face off against the Saints. He made three starts this season thus far. The first two before then he was benched. Then last week he made a start because of the Andy Dalton injury and his family got in an accident.
Yeah.
And apparently his thumb was injured. That thumb, he seems to be recovering from it, but it seems like they're still going to go with Bryce Young again.
And how'd that start go?
I actually don't recall exactly
how that start
went. Easy bet, right? Yeah. With all of these things when it comes to Bryce Young. He has not really found a way to put anything together in his very young career, but he will go again. And like, I think that there's something to be said for keeping somewhat positivity when a guy like that is young and gets benched, because they will find their way back into playing. We'll see what that one looks like. That game's going to be real funny because on the other side of it, you have Derek Carr, who is starting for the Saints and returning.
And he's sitting over there going, don't expect any miracles, guys.
He said, I'm coming back, but I'm no savior. As if to say, like, hey, man, if it doesn't look great, don't look at me, man. There's
y'all
a lot of other
I'm gonna
issues
fix this?
Here.
Y'all are crazy.
So that sounds like that's going to be one of those maybe fun ones to watch on kind of like a train wreck level as well. We're just getting some news in when it comes to your Houston Texans around the NFL. And it's that Will Anderson Jr., Defensive Player of the Week, correct?
About the month.
Of the month, rather.
NFL Players of the Month for October here on Halloween. On defense in the AFC, Will Anderson Jr. Offense, Lamar Jackson, no big surprise right there. NFC Lions quarterback Jared Goff offensively. And Packers, the Texans had a little something to do with this. Safety Xavier McKinney is the defensive player of the month. But, man, these accolades are just stacking up, largely on the defensive side.
Yeah. I mean, Will Anderson has been playing in an incredible way. Like, it makes sense. Tons of tackles. I mean, 5 sacks in the month, right, out of his 7.5 that he has, which I think has him tied for third in the league. Will Anderson's been delivering in a big way. And, I mean, It helps that on the other side, Danielle Hunter has also been applying pressure, but this team applies pressure at the highest rate in the league. And Will Anderson in this month really turned it up. We talked with Andy Kalu, and he mentioned that these things come in bunches, right?
Yeah, boy, did they.
And the month of October has been really good for the bunches of Will Anderson Jr.'s sacks when it comes down to it. So shout out to Will Anderson Jr., rightfully getting some accolades as the AFC Player of the Month. Very, very deservedly so. Some other things around the NFL. Remember Trayvon Diggs losing it on a reporter after they got embarrassed again, right? Like they weren't able to get a win this past weekend on Sunday in San Francisco. And remember when he was he was talking to a reporter. Reporter had tweeted something that Trayvon didn't like, a level of criticism. And he was the reporter, Mike Leslie, he was saying, "Hey, man, you know, we could talk about this." And Trayvon said, "Talk about these nuts." Well, Trayvon
Wouldn't
Diggs.
Wouldn't you laugh if that happened to you?
Oh, absolutely.
100%. I would just laugh. I was like, okay, that's
every
good
time.
I got to give you credit on that.
Yeah, that is going to diffuse tension, or it might raise the tension depending on like what the how jovial the nature is of the situation, right? We might need to fight behind them. But they've made up. Mike Leslie let us know on Twitter that Trayvon Diggs went ahead and gave him two cans of D's nuts. As a gift in his apology. He also explained that what looked like him slowing down as not giving effort was him trying to make sure to play the cutback, possibility of the cutback. So I appreciate that. Hey, man, we can get players and media members together and explain themselves and, you know, share gifts like D's nuts.
Well, that's why, you know, you always lean into these things and all of a sudden it's over. It's over. I mean, there's no big deal. He's not going to have to worry about it. When you lean into it, actually gave him a can of nuts.
D's nuts.
D's
in
nuts. Yeah. D's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's nothing better than that.
Not much. Not much better than that. Real quick, around the NFL, Jameson Williams is going through like a weird thing. He's currently still serving the final game of his 2-game suspension from PED usage from week 9. And now there's like a warrant out for his arrest on a concealed weapon charge. So like apparently he was in the car with his brother, and in the state of Michigan, you have to have a concealed carry license to then have a gun. And in that car, there was two weapons, one that was attributed to his brother, who does have a license, and then one that was attributed to Jameson, who did not. He was not brought in that moment, and then there was a warrant then put out for his arrest afterwards, which is a weird situation in and of itself, right? Yeah. In theory, you would imagine that the officer in that instance that would come across that would then, take some level of action. He was released on that occasion, but they come back around with a warrant. All of that stuff, really weird stuff happening there, and it feels like we have less and less of those things in the NFL lately, but there you go. Jameson Williams popping up. Well, Dan Campbell said he offered words of support of his wide receiver when he spoke to reporters yesterday. Said that when it comes to, you know, the possibility of jeopardizing his career, and said that he believes that Jameson will learn from the experiences. He said, I quote, "I think he does. I think he's become more and more aware of that over time, and I think he does. For me, I judge people for what's in their heart. I know what this kid is made of, and he's worth hanging with. He's going to learn from this. He's going to grow. He'll be better for all this."
Yeah, and I thought that was a good answer. And I also thought, as much as, hey, the law is the law, and, you know, in Detroit, in Michigan, you got to have a license for your concealed weapons. But when you watch the tape, it actually, I'm not going to say seemed reasonable or right, but I understood it. Like the officer said, you know, "What are you doing with a gun?" He said, "For protection." And then he said, "You know where I live, right? Detroit." He said that.
No further questions.
So the officer was like, "Yeah, okay,
you know what?
That's a good point.
That's fair.
That's a good point.
I'd be out in these streets. That sounds about right."
Yeah. So, like, yes, illegal. They investigated.
Technically
illegal.
Yeah.
They investigated why he wasn't, why he was released or whatever. But I was like, I get it. Like, I understand. Maybe they should have fined him or held him a little longer or whatever. But I did like his explanation there.
Well, I mean, when it comes to that suspension, right, like, that's supposed to take him up to, he's not going to be suspended for the Texans game.
Correct.
But you wonder if any of this legal trouble will then get him in something where he'll be out of that game when they come on Sunday Night Football in like a week and a half to NRG Stadium. That'll be something that we'll watch out for when it comes down to that.
Man, I was just trying to find the type of month that Will Anderson had, and our guy Everett over with the Texans just put it out. This will get you. This will get you Defensive Player of the Month. 5 sacks in October, 7 tackles for loss, a fumble recovery that sealed a win, by the way.
That's true.
Pass defensed that resulted in an interception.
Yeah.
And 12 stops behind the line of scrimmage.
I think that's good.
That'll get you Defensive Player of the
Month,
Will Anderson.
Shout out to Will Anderson doing the stuff. And he also just does it with such a like bubbly and jovial personality
best.
As well. Really the best. And
yeah.
So he's going to be a big part of their game tonight as Aaron Rodgers, he playing off that right. Aaron Rodgers has not been all that mobile. He's made some kind of errant decisions as well. So you imagine that's exasperated with pressure. And Tyron Smith on that left side. Looks gettable in a big way in this in his advanced age for a football player. So, yeah, Will Anderson Jr. might be able to continue that.
And Danielle Hunter.
Finish out the most strong.
You know, I heard the guys this morning talking about, I think it was Sean, that said, I don't care what anybody says, that was a great trade for Danielle Hunter.
100%.
I think the Will Anderson Player of the Month helps prove that because of what's happening on the other side of the line with Danielle Hunter wreaking havoc. He had a hell of a month, too, by the way.
Yeah.
But wreaking havoc on one side. And now you got Will Anderson, you know, benefiting from the other. And tonight's game is going to be about as big as anything for those two.
Yeah, I keep thinking back to Will Anderson talking with Sean and Clint after, I don't remember which game. It might have been last game or the game prior. Talking about how he looks at these guys as big brothers. He had sisters. And so, like, he looks at them as big brothers. And I think that mentorship matters a good amount.
Absolutely.
He has the talent, but also, like, there's some in veterans kind of passing down that knowledge to him. Mm-hmm. And you can see it with Will. You could absolutely see the level of growth that is occurring there as well. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That is around the NFL. Coming up next, we've avoided talking about what is the worst case scenario that could happen. Possibility of a CJ Stroud injury. So let's now have that conversation. We'll talk about that.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez dressed as a pirate. You have Figgy Fig, who has given us the best Joker that I've seen since Heath Ledger.
Where's the booty?
Is that just a general question?
Well, I'm a pirate.
Okay.
I got to know where the booty is.
All right, fair enough. That's also what I want to know for various different reasons. And I'm Reginald Atitula, dressed as Questlove today. I missed this tweet from earlier today. Stephon Diggs sent us a little message on game day for the Texans, and he said, ready to see what these young boys got. In essence,
he's playing.
Don't do that.
Hey, Stephon. Us too.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the things that we're looking forward to is what do the young boys look like? Ready to see these young boys is the direct quote at Stephon Diggs on Twitter. And that's going to be a big thing to watch within the course of this game. Another thing that we are watching as your Texans are facing off against the Jets, 7:15. You'll hear right here on Sports Radio 610 with the pregame with Sean and Seth starting at 4:15. One of the things that we've talked a lot about is this offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But Lopez, we haven't gotten to the worst case scenario of this.
Well, I think people are afraid to quote unquote jinx anything. And I get it and I understand it and I'm with you. I don't want to jinx anything. But my thing is, let's get very honest about why Kenyon Green specifically and why this offensive line in a larger view is so important that they get their bleep together. I mean, let's get serious about this.
So that Joe Mixon can run for 200 yards.
Well, that's one reason.
Yeah.
We can do that whether they're blocking well or not, it seems like.
Yeah.
But when I saw Aaron Wilson tweet out that the Texans actually tinkered with the idea of starting Kendrick Green this week, like short week and all. Now, it's his report, so I don't have any information on that myself. But if you trust Aaron Wilson, and if we're being completely honest, not all of his reports lately have proved to be accurate. He said Nico Collins was going to be back, and then Nico Collins ended up on the IR.
Sure.
But he is around the team, and he did report this from sources. When I saw that they tinkered with Kendrick Green being the starter, and I thought to myself, what are we doing? Like, if you're already thinking about Kendrick Green, you're kind of already going down that road, you know? And the bigger question, the thing that nobody wants to jinx, is let's go back over C.J. Stroud's season thus far, especially in the last month.
Okay.
He came up limping this past week. I'm sure a lot of people noticed that.
Sure.
He's been beaten up several times.
Absolutely has.
I can't remember the exact game. I'm sure the text board will remind me. But another game recently sort of had to, you know, kind of be helped up. And not like he got knocked loopy or anything, but just kind of had to gather himself because he was hurting. So let's just be honest. Forget the jinx stuff. If Kenyon Green gets blown up as he was, and the New York Jets, very good defense, especially Quinnen Williams, who will be lined up directly in front of Kenyon Green.
Right.
And something happens to C.J. Stroud, then everybody is liable. Everybody, maybe not liable, that's not a good word. Everybody is going to hear some, is going to get some blowback on that. Is going to get some criticism on that. Why did it take you so long? You know, why were you so loyal? We talked about that.
Yeah.
You know, to Kenyon Green. You were apparently, reportedly, thinking of making a switch, and you didn't do it. And now C.J. Stroud, something happened to him. I'm not going to say the I word, but something, you know, we all know what it is.
Yeah.
Like, the reason that you do these things is that guy right there is your entire season. Like, it's one thing if Kenyon Green, you know, or even Stephon Diggs, you know, are out, or either by benching or injury or whatever. That's something that you can maybe work around. Something happens to C.J. Stroud. It's over. Your season's over.
Correct.
So, like, I'm a little bit like, I don't know about this, guys. Probably should have at least made the move.
But here's the tough thing about it is, what's the move that you felt confident in to prevent that worst case scenario that we're dancing around when it comes to C.J. Stroud? Because what they ultimately went to was Jarrett Patterson, eventually, once they did, and he gets concussed, and like, maybe that's just like poor luck, but that was the move that they had in their back pocket to make. And even with that, right, you listen to some of the people that really played this game, and they'll point to the fact that Jarrett Patterson was fine. He was better than Kenyon Green, but I don't know that he was like great in that way. And obviously, if he would have been a great option, you probably would have wanted to have him there to begin with. And I mean, do you feel great about the idea? Like, we talked about the possibility that, hey, man, maybe they were tinkering with Kendrick Green starting. Does that sound like something that is like gangbusters when it comes to a move in protection of CJ? Like, I don't know that you had great options is ultimately what I'm trying to get to here.
That sounds like a better option than Kenyon Green. And that's where we are with this. What did Sean tell us off air the other day? Sorry, Sean. You know, I said, would you take, or you did, something for Kenyon Green. He said, I'd take a broom and just somebody out there with him. And here's the other part of this, Reggie. Like they did it last year. They adjusted at left guard last year. I mean, they have done it, whether it was, Jarrett Patterson, Tytus Howard ended up playing there. And they may do it right tackle. Well, now you got a right tackle that you drafted high that has played already this year, in Eric Fisher. You got Nick Broeker, who has played some guard. Yeah. He's played some guard. You have Kendrick Green, which, okay, maybe, you know, the question is he really that better? He's not worse. He's not worse than Kenyon Green.
Yeah, at this point.
Yeah.
But I think also just you had a young guy in Kenyon Green that you had to, like, to start the season, right? Like, going all the way back. You had a young guy in Kenyon Green that you used a high draft pick on, and I'd be lying, to say that that did not factor in. Still youthful, and you imagine, okay, what's the development curve on this? Like, can he continue to get better? And it didn't go that way, right? And so now I think also one of the things you look at is, where are the points where it is easiest to make shifts?
Mm-hmm.
Bye weeks, like long weeks.
Yeah.
And so you might be coming up on the opportunity after this game where it makes it easier to make that shift.
Yeah.
But I don't know that you've had, and this is the one thing, is that you keep going back to the idea that maybe you pulled the trigger a little late. But they did try and pull the trigger on fixing it. Mm-hmm. You just had a real bad fortune with an injury immediately and thereafter. I think that after this Jets game, you are provided with the opportunity to make some moves, whether it's trade deadline, or if you want to get into musical chairs, that's that having that extended week is one when you have a better situation. When if you want to get into, all right, well, what are the other options that we have at guard?
Yeah.
After this game is where you get the opportunity to try those things, I think, or where you have a place where it makes the most sense to give those things a try with you having a really late.
You're not wrong. But again, like after the after this week, you have 10 days. After this week, you have a trade deadline bearing down on you. Maybe you'll have a little more flexibility and time to get this done. But again, you tinkered with the idea reportedly this week. And so I'll go back to this old school. Let's just go old school risk reward. What is the risk of starting Kenyon Green in this game? And what is the reward of starting Kenyon Green in this game? The reward is he's passable, right? The risk is the worst case scenario.
And
I know where I would fall.
Familiarity as well.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I'm saying in terms of like, okay, he's passable. Or the risk is we're putting the franchise in trouble back there. We saw it this past Sunday.
Yeah.
He was in trouble. He came up limping. It was largely Kenyon Green that was getting blown up. So the whole risk reward to me is very simple. I would rather, avoid the risk, than maybe have the reward of, okay, he was all right.
Yeah, I hate to talk about the offensive line of your team like this, but in some ways it feels like this is devolved into the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in some ways you look at it and you go, especially if you do not have something that you feel super confident about when it comes to immediately that you're plugging in and you know what you're getting, it might be better to go with, we know the ways in which Kenyon Green will play, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, right? And I don't feel comfortable saying that. Like, I don't feel good saying this, mm-hmm. right? I think we all saw that game against the Colts and acknowledged that that was far from sufficient. Like, that was not good enough. But the fact of the matter is, I don't know that you have great options, but this did not feel like the right week. This did not feel like the week where you would have the opportunity to really test your options. I feel like next
but
week.
But again, they thought so. They considered it reportedly.
But to what degree? Like, consider it. Yeah. You didn't even really have a solid practice opportunity to get any of this feel out. So, like, tinker with, I don't know if that's something that tells me a lot. Did they think about it for a little bit, and how much of that is we're considering all options mm-hmm. when D'Amico said all options are on the table? As opposed to like really having the thought of he will start or he gets reps, whatever those reps are, like mental reps, walkthrough reps, whatever. Like, what is the amount of tinkering? Because I can't imagine that you had much time, if at all, to actually give that a real look compared to the 10-day stretch that you'll have between this game tonight and the line game when they get here. Not this upcoming Sunday, but the Sunday.
I mean, we could be here tomorrow saying, heaven forbid, knock on wood, but saying, was it worth it? Was it worth it?
Oh, come on, man.
No! Even if he's not injured, but if he just gets blown up and they lose, and CJ gets beat up again, was it worth it?
It is a Thursday night football game, so yeah. I think maybe that's why they're not making the change, because it's too soon.
Yeah.
Because how much time did they actually practice this week?
One and a half. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe it was too much to try to go through a whole new adding a whole new person in there.
And that's ultimately where I feel like this is. It's a really unfortunate time for all these things to come up. And yeah, the idea that, hey man, move Titus to left guard and put Blake Fisher at right tackle.
That's a lot of the musical chairs.
That is a lot of musical chairs, but that feels like probably, as much as that's a lot, that feels like maybe the ones where you get the most guys that have some level of comfort in the game. But again, you have a short week to do that. So like all of the answers that you go to, or like the proposed answers, it all feels like it's a lot to undertake in 1 week. It feels like, as much as I hate to say it, like their best option might be just rolling Kenyon Green back out there. And I don't feel any good about that.
I will say this. They do have longer time off after this Thursday night game.
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
So
yeah.
It's going to be a lot of time to reflect and get stuff together into next Sunday night.
I just like, man, if I'm Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, I mean, it's gonna fall squarely on me.
Yeah.
It's going to fall. And again, not even talking about the worst case scenario, the I word. Just talking about humiliated again, CJ Stroud gets beat up again and you lose. Like, what were you doing? Why'd you do this?
Yeah, I do think the unfortunate thing about this is they got a Thursday night game. It'd be one thing if it was like Sunday, if it was a regular Sunday noon game, and that give you time to put somebody else there and, you know, run with this offensive line, but you literally had like one day.
Yeah, 3 days sooner of a game than if you had a Sunday game. I think that's
the unfortunate part in that scheduling.
It limits your opportunity. And yes, I understand, right? Kendrick has been in the system before, but like throwing Kendrick into this place this year, like every year has a level of distinction and difference in it. And again, I'll go back to the fact that they didn't feel like Kendrick being the guy on the depth chart that's immediately behind Kenyon Green isn't the one that they turn to in the moment.
But
where
they do get reps.
Yeah, even
before this week, they you know, maybe even Titus. I don't know. I'm not at those practices, but like they get reps at different positions. They get backups, get reps. Whether it's Broker or Kendrick Green or before Patterson, like they do get reps. It's not like I've never done this before. Now you want me to play on Thursday?
No, I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but how many games have you played this year, though? Like, or run with this same squad? I mean, I know it sounds easy to just put somebody in there because they've been here for a year or two.
Yeah.
But this ain't really like Madden where you could just plug somebody in there and let's go. I think they need some time to like rep with that person.
Yeah.
And rep with that line.
So the name of the game is, hey, man, just get through it.
This is definitely get through a week.
Like a get through a game. But yeah, the worst case scenario has now been discussed. Thanks for that, Lopez. But now we can move on and focus on the Jets game in a way that I think is more positive, I imagine. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including the World Series finally being over. We'll talk about that more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, we're getting into What's Poppin' here in the Loop right here in a second. But the Kendrick Green conversation and the ways in which this team goes about handling it going into this Jets game tonight. The possibilities continued on the text line, on the 5-hour energy fam line during the break. Someone bringing up the idea that, you know, they threw him to the Wolves against TJ Watt and the Steelers last year after he'd been here for a shorter time. So they're not buying the idea of, you know, necessarily being a short week or any of those things. It just feels like there is an acknowledgement, especially when you see Patterson selected to go in at guard before him. This feels like an acknowledgement of something that from the coaches that get to see him consistently, that maybe they still feel more comfortable with Kenyon Green, which is, I mean, that feels like an indictment, but that feels like something that they are able to make better than I would from this place.
Well, it does speak to that. You're not wrong. But they thought about it, as we talked about. They thought about doing it now. Maybe it was just for whatever reason they didn't.
Yeah.
But the other part of it is, we all acknowledge that Kenyon Green, if he gets blown up on the first series, second series, he's coming out.
Sure.
He's out.
Sure. He's going to have I imagine he has to have a short leash.
If you think you're going to do it and you thought about doing it before the game, you're going to do it if he gets blown up again. So.
But it's a get through it. And I think also one of the things that we didn't talk about in that is it feels like there's going to be a good amount of responsibility put on Bobby Slowick to kind of minimize.
Yes.
Some of that is, man, it's crazy seeing all of the different costumes that are happening around this building, because you can just see somebody with a shovel walking through the hallway throwing you off.
They're bringing a shovel to the place.
Just shovels walking around. Not something I thought I'd see, but hey, man, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
Speaking of, let's get into what's popping. That segue doesn't make any sense. But
you were shook.
Definitely shook. As it looked like Gerrit Cole was at one point during the course of the World Series Game 5 that ultimately had the Dodgers win. And so, 7-6 was the final. Dodgers win the World Series. And they pull off the largest comeback in a World Series game in this game because they had a 5-0 deficit. And in that, was that fifth? Correct?
Mm-hmm, fifth inning.
After Gerrit Cole had been pitching so well, they load up the bases with some errors. And then Gerrit Cole lost that game, right? Or Boone? Was it Aaron Judge?
Yeah,
Gerrit Cole gonna get the blame.
Yeah.
But Aaron Judge dropped that fly ball.
Yeah.
That started it all, man.
I think Garrett Cole is absolutely deserving of the blame because it's the oldest thing in the book. Just a little hustle, baby. Just a little hustle getting to first base. Five unearned runs end up scoring. And the Yankees... Here's the other thing. All these Astros fans, I don't want either team to win. You know, I hate them both. You were a little happy, weren't you? Weren't you a little happy that it ended like this?
Well, especially with Cashman very recently doing that thing, talking about 2017. But also, like, the Dodgers do a good amount of talk about 2017. They win this, they've got to shut up about it, right?
They would have to.
I know that they won in 2020 and that didn't stop them, but this was like they got the full experience. They can shut up now, right?
I think they should. I don't think they will. I don't think they will. But Garrett Cole was a representative of himself on that ground ball to the right side of the field and didn't get the ball.
I see what you did.
Yeah. he looks awful, and he's getting destroyed in New York. Look, I don't think they were going to win the series anyway.
No, they would have had a shot. Themselves in a tough spot.
They would have had a shot if Garrett Cole would have followed it through. But, man.
And their brains, they definitely thought they had a chance. Being 5-0,
yeah.
Like being up 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he did a lot of good pitching right before that play that he did not cover first and allowed the inning to continue. That was the first runs that scored on that, or first run rather that scored on that. And then thereafter, Cole seemed to lose his composure, just had to throw a lot of pitches in that inning, which also wears on you. But before that, just before that, he had a fantastic strikeout of the batter before. Was that Shohei on the batter before?
I think he struck out when the bases loaded, right?
Yeah,
he had the bases loaded, he struck out.
Yeah.
I have to go back to the box score of it, but the batter before the first run comes across, like a fantastic at bat for Garrett Cole. Looked like he was dealing. Yeah,
I want to say I guess he had a no-hitter, didn't he? I think he had a no-hitter, at least around the fourth.
No, I don't think it was a no-hitter. I'd have to go back again myself.
I know he was. I know he was on. I know he was money.
Mm-hmm. He was definitely money.
Yeah, he struck out Shohei before, and then you get Mookie Betts singling, and now you're off to the races there. But the Dodgers bat around in that inning, and just it wears on him to the point where, and he still goes 6 2/3 in this one. Mm-hmm. But at that point, they let the Dodgers back in, and the Dodgers went ahead and closed the door. Freddie Freeman.
Shohei got his ring.
MVP, Shohei gets his ring, so Lopez is the happiest man on
earth.
Let's
go Dodgers!
But yeah, Aaron Judge also got a lot of lot of flack from a lot of people, including our very own Adam Spillane, saying that, hey man, you just need to let Garrett Cole continue to cook at that point. Just let him keep going, right? But yeah, we're done. We're finally done with the series that everybody kind of seemed to hate, with two teams that nobody likes around here. And I just, you gotta hope that at least the Dodgers shut up. And I guess the tough thing about it on the negative side of it, first of all, let's be happy. The Yankees lose and you get to enjoy those tears. But the negative side of it is I do think, as we mentioned earlier, that this might give them extra juice they already seem to have some interest, but this might give them extra juice in the Alex Bregman sweepstakes.
The Yankees for sure. Dodgers now have two world championships, even though the question on the 2020 was, the COVID year. But the Astros kind of have a question on their first one, too, a little bit.
But my question would be, how much y'all pay for it?
Yeah, exactly.
What's y'all payroll looking like?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think
y'all paid all that money for that.
And that's
finally.
And that's why Dave Roberts needed it, because, my goodness, they've given him everything in the world. He had to make sure
he spent like $1 billion on those players.
But, of course, the most important part of this game, and this comes from Adam on the YouTube, I bet B. Scott had a good night. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
That's the
thing that we did.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
That is the thing.
I thought I saw him walking funny.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, wait a minute. walking funny or walking like George Jefferson?
Yeah, moving on up to the east side. Another thing, the Rockets are playing tonight. So, like, we have two Houston teams going tonight. They're playing against the Mavericks in Dallas tonight. They're not getting no love, right? Like,
they're
tonight,
getting zero
just
love.
Not, they're not going to get no love in this one.
I check the score on my phone. That's about it.
That's as far as you're going.
Yeah, we had the commercial break.
We had the discussion because Reggie, you're going to be out at the watch party.
Yeah, watch party at the Buffalo Wild Wings in spring.
Are they even going to show the Rockets there?
And that's the thing, is you think with all the TVs that happen at a sports bar that it would be on,
but it's the Texans.
And I don't think so. Like, I think it'll be all the TVs flipped to the Texans game. I sincerely believe that.
I think you're right. I think you're right. But, I mean, you know, hey, it's a long season for the Rockets.
I'd be like, hey, excuse me, can you put that small TV on the Rockets for me, please?
Like the one that they the one at the table,
the little 12-inch at the table.
I thought you were talking about the one that the waiters have to put their order in on.
Yeah, like, you know, some of them have the little tables, little TVs. Yeah, exactly.
But Jalen Green has been really good early on. Apparently, there are only four players in history to have, or there's only three players rather, to exceed his 115 points and 19 threes through the first four games of the season, which is Steph Curry, who has somehow done it four times. Luka Doncic to Kemba Walker, right? Top 10 also in defensive field goal percentage allowed. Like, he's as a primary defender. Jalen Green has been fantastic in this. We mentioned Alperen Şengün.
I was just going to bring that up. Go ahead. Yeah.
A little bit of struggles.
But you pointed this out, and I don't quite know if it's meaningful or not, but it's something. There was some pictures, I guess a picture online. Of a recent game in which he had a big
Grizzlies game on Friday.
Had a big ice pack wrapped his entire waist and a big ice pack on his lower back.
Or it could have been a heat pack. I have no idea.
Well, it could have been. But big men with lower back, maybe that's part of the reason he hasn't quite been what we've seen in the past. Maybe we're going to find out, and we will, that they can start meshing together, he and Jalen Green, a little better. By the way, shout out to Adam Spillane, baseball spo, basketball spo. Really good piece on sportsradio610.com about some of these things that we're talking about.
Yeah, so check that out. Spo always doing a good job there. Plus B. Scott as well, the H-Town Hoops podcast, is one to check out as well. That'll be interesting. They'll have a little bit of a challenge, but again, as a lot of people have detailed, there's a lot of ways to go on the basketball season, and it's still very early, even for the things that we've talked about.
You'll be forgiven.
Jalen Green's great hot start with great offense and some defense. Like, there's still a question of, all right, sustain this now for us. And then Alperen Şengün, you know, everybody has rough spots. It might have just been that his rough spot started the season.
And Reed Shepherd's development, which has been somewhat slow to start the year, but again, game five. Yeah, game five. So, long way to go.
Yeah. Some other things that are popping. I do want to circle back around. Will Anderson Jr., AFC Defensive Player of the Month. It feels like there's been a lot of players that have the opportunity to get, like, awards this season on, like, a season-long.
Nico got it. You got a special teams from two of them.
When he was the entirety of the offense.
You got two from Kyami Fairbairn. You got Nico was
Joe Mixon.
Mixon was one. And Will Anderson. That's five. That says something. That says something right there about how they're playing, largely on the defensive side. Well, I guess not. Joe Mixon.
No, you had. Hopefully, you have an opportunity to get another one tonight against the Jets. I don't know. This one feels like it's going to be relatively low scoring, though.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I don't even know what the over-under is, but I would take the under based on how. And by the way, we talked about this. How Bobby Slowick is going to play this game. A lot of runs, a lot of play action, a lot of time eaten off that clock.
42.5. And that could also be another one of those things that helps when it comes to the interior of your offensive line, not necessarily giving you the best outcomes and the best efforts necessarily thus far this season. Maybe more of a game possession kind of way of going about things would be helpful tonight. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Obviously, you have the Texans versus the Jets tonight, 7:15. You'll hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. I'll be out at the Buffalo Wild Wings in spring with the watch party there, so come out and say what's up. And you also have an opportunity to win a Nico Collins signed football and Bud Light's giving away two tickets to the Detroit game as well. So if you don't like me enough, I'm sure you like the Texans enough to come out and
tickets.
Say what's up.
Magic tickets. Word.
That's right. Tickets and a signed football. You want to see
Sunday night football.
Yes, sir.
Man, Sunday. Prime time football in the next three games. So tonight.
Yeah, last time it was amazing. That last time they played Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody texted in, are we including Mixon's angry run from Kyle Brandt? I was not, but you know what? I need to do better about keeping up with the angry run. And that he has gotten that accolade as well, depending on how you feel about the accolade. All right, coming up next, is there anything that you absolutely must see above the Texans just getting a win tonight? Because I actually think I'm fine with just the W. I'll tell you why next. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.